Yeah, so we have 10 minutes. I'll be splitting that equally with co-appellant, so 5 minutes aside, and I'd like to reserve 1 minute. No, yeah, so I need 4 minutes. I'll need 4 minutes.
I'm just looking for a third grader to help out.
May it please the court. My name is Daryl Mizunaga. I represent appellants Mosley in this matter. And we're here in regards to an appeal of a summary judgment order that was entered relative to plaintiff's claim for injunctive relief and monetary damages based on the installation of the fence.
And
well, Your Honor, we believe that it is right for appeal because we believe that when plaintiff filed her motion for judgment, that essentially was an abandonment of all other claims. There was never any indication at that point in time that she was going to proceed further with those claims. Nothing happened with the case. Yes.
It seems to me you folks are wondering, is this case over or are we going to trial?
That's correct.
Are you abandoned?
In regards to her remaining claims?
Yes.
The matter didn't proceed to trial. Plaintiff didn't initiate anything in regards to any of her claims.
What did you do in response to the trial date?
Well, we didn't do anything either. I mean, our understanding is that she was not pursuing those claims.
Well, the court rules allow you to move to dismiss if it's not prosecuted for a year. You had an option.
We had an option. She's pursuing her claims. We assume by virtue of her entering this judgment that she was abandoning those remaining claims. So when the trial court denied our request for clarification in regards to remaining claims,
then you needed to go to trial. And that didn't happen either.
Correct. So what you're telling me is that we need to go back to the trial court and determine and go to trial on the remaining issues. I think
you can still talk about the contempt order. The contempt order is appealable, independent of any of this discussion. It would seem to me that the contempt order would be appealable. I think contempt orders always are.
Okay. Let me, counsel for Mr. Armstrong is going to be addressing those issues, so I'll stop at this point in time.
Yes, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Your Honors. My name is Greg Cavanero here on behalf of Appellant David Armstrong. I would like to address, based on the discussion that's transpired, the the motion for contempt and sanctions, which was issued by the court, and are citing error in that order being issued. To take a step back, it's our position that the summary judgment was erroneously entered. There was material issues of fact that precluded the court from granting the summary judgment. In addition, the facts were not viewed most favorably in favor of the appellants, and therefore... That's correct, Your Honor.
Then why are we talking about summary judgment?
Well,
you can challenge whether or not there was a proper finding of contempt.
I'll limit my remarks to just
moving so people understand what we're
just the contempt, Your Honor. There was in relation to the motion for contempt, the evidence that was provided by Mr. Armstrong provided that he was in fact 100% compliant with the court's previous order, that he had in fact removed all of the fencing and the rocks, that he had removed everything that he had ever installed on the in question easement area, and that that he had believed that he had fully complied with the court's order. That evidence was provided to the court along with various pictures and exhibits to illustrate Mr. Armstrong's explanation of the actions that he took to remove the fence, to remove the rocks, and to otherwise remove the quote-unquote encroachments from the property. Notwithstanding that evidence and the fact that it was not contradicted in any way, the court found Mr. Armstrong and the appellants in contempt, and in fact, that's correct. Excuse me, I already didn't hear that. The order did not include findings, Your Honor. In fact, simply was issued and awarded $2,100 in attorney's fees and $100 per day for sanctions. It allowed the plaintiff to submit an order for judgment within 30 days of all the encroachments being removed. So that was the sum, substance, and total of the order that was issued, Your Honor. There wasn't specific findings of contempt by my client in its actions.
Let me ask about the orders, just to make sure I've got a proper understanding. There was the summary judgment order that was entered.
Correct.
There was a judgment entered on the contempt. Was there any other judgment entered?
There was the order that was originated from the contempt motion, and then there was motion for entry of a judgment, and that's how the judgment was entered. So that was the contempt motion.
Did that result in a judgment other than the judgment that was entered on the contempt motion?
No, it did not. There was not a separate judgment. The judgment stemmed from the motion for entry of the judgment, and there was no separate judgment entered. There was an order entered, and that's sub 57 on November 29, 1911.
Does the judgment that was entered, does it recite a grant of relief other than a grant of relief stemming from the contempt proceeding?
Well, as I recall, the motion for entry of a judgment simply requested that the judgment summary that was combined in the motion for entry of the judgment be ordered and affirmed, and that, in fact, the judge ordered that judgment summary become a judgment in the case. And that's how the judgment was entered.
There was an order granting contempt and sanctions contained in the findings. The court entered monetary sanctions, including attorney's fees. King County rule requires a judgment summary to be entered in the judgment docket. There was a subsequent order directing entry of the final judgment on that contempt. Right?
I don't have the, I have notations from the order that originated on November 29, 1911, motion for contempt and sanctions. So I don't have the text in front of me to affirm whether there were findings. All right. Thank you. Thank you.
May it please the court, I'm Lisa Hamill, and I'm here on behalf of Respondent Duran.
Okay, you move for entry of a judgment. Did that motion take place after the trial date that had been assigned to you?
I don't recall if it was after the trial date that was assigned. The judgment that we moved to have entered was on the sanctions, because what had happened was we moved for contempt.
Okay, why didn't you go to trial? Why didn't you show up for trial?
Because the case was about getting the encroachments removed. Once the encroachments,
but if you had a trial date, why didn't you show up for trial?
Because we believed that the issues were dismissed on summary judgment. That the relief that we were seeking was the injunctive relief.
Is opposing counsel correct then that you abandoned those claims?
Yes, we did. We believed our client believed that that was. The relief that we requested was granted on summary judgment. We requested that
you abandoned your claims. You manifested that by not showing up for trial and by moving for entry of judgment, not on those claims.
Moving for entry of judgment on the sanctions for failing to comply with the summary judgment order.
Without reference to those claims. So either Judge Doyle in fact resolved them or you abandoned them.
Correct.
And that happened prior to judgment being entered.
That's correct, Your Honor. Yeah.
Did you oppose their clarification motion? Because they were confused about what the order resolved.
And the basis that we opposed it on was that it was a reiteration of the arguments under the underlying summary judgment motion. And so our basis was, this doesn't make sense. The court has already ruled on the summary judgment. If they want to appeal, the time for appealing that has come and gone because it should have been filed. They moved for reconsideration, so the appeal should have been filed in October. And we were just saying, our motion for entry of judgment was clear. We moved for sanctions for contempt. Amount certain was established because the encroachments were removed, so we were able to calculate what that daily rate was what the amount was, because it's $100 a day until the encroachments were removed. So once we were able to calculate what that number was, we moved for entry of judgment summary. The judgment was satisfied because the $14,700 was paid. And again, the encroachments were removed. So
the judge at least clarify, because two parties actually, were unclear as to what the trial judge did. Aside from abandonment.
Yeah.
It was very simple for the trial judge to clarify by saying, my order resolves any and all claims.
I don't know what Judge Doyle's I don't know, because our opposition, again, I guess, you know, I can't speak to what she said, only because I suppose it wasn't confusing in our mind, which doesn't help this court. But because we styled the complaint, there were lots of different issues. But when we moved, again, they were...
But you didn't move to dismiss the other issues. So, in essence, you got a summary judgment that purports to give you summary judgment on your claims, your damages claim?
We moved for summary judgment and on the issues. Summary judgment was granted. It wasn't the way that the order was styled. It was not granted in part. So,
from our perspective,
Exactly. We won at summary judgment for all claims.
The trial court didn't say a word about damages.
We asked for injunctive relief.
And damages. You put that in your complaint.
But they weren't, damages weren't granted. What was granted was...
Well, you have to have a trial on it. Did you get a liability judgment, a summary judgment on outrage?
No.
Well, but you just said you won the summary judgment. That was one of your claims.
Yeah.
We're confused. There's a problem.
Yeah.
You need to go back to the trial court because the trial court did, and it appears to be, from everything that we can tell, this is completely unclear, and it's critical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And our belief is that the trial court properly entered the order of contempt because the order on summary judgment required the removal of the encroachments within 30 days of the order. The encroachments were not removed within 30 days of the order. We had actually beyond that, because what happened was it said you had to remove it within 30 days. They filed for motion for reconsideration, which extended it out, so that the order on reconsideration was granted a month later. So with the encroachments had not been removed within 30 days. So we moved for contempt because the order had not been complied with. The opposition to that motion again re-argued the basis for the summary judgment, which we said isn't proper here. The order, it's already been decided. We're saying the order needs to be complied with. They didn't appeal, so therefore the order needs to be complied with.
Well, how could they appeal a summary judgment motion that did not resolve your outrage claim?
I guess you
didn't dismiss it. You in the order, in the summary judgment order, doesn't reference it. A summary judgment that does not resolve all claims is not appealable.
Okay, I guess.
So how can them not, other than asking the court, what in the world did you do? And then apparently you resisted successfully the urge of the court, if it ever had such an urge, to actually explain what it had done. So they asked, did you resolve all the claims? The court says, I won't tell you. You look at the order, the summary judgment order only grants equitable relief, and you have tort claims.
Right.
If they file an appeal at that time, we lambaste them for not reading the rules.
Mm-hmm.
What in the world were they supposed to do?
Well, I don't know how to answer your question because...
I mean, they could have shown up for trial, but you wouldn't have been there.
Well, precisely, or there would have been, or a motion to dismiss, which we wouldn't have opposed because, and we probably would have been confused because we believed that all of the issues were resolved on the summary judgment motion. And again, because the order, you know, they ordered the removal of the encroachments were after the order of contempt was entered, the encroachments were removed. And we didn't, you know, we didn't go any further because we believed everything was over at that point. We got the property was restored, the easement access was available, the sanctions that were paid. We entered satisfaction of judgment with the court because the sanctions had been paid, and so I guess I don't know how other to answer than to say it was our understanding that the order had resolved everything further. We didn't take any further. And I suppose...
Is it your view that at the time you moved for entry of the judgment...
It was the entry of the judgment on the sanctions.
At that point, you were done. You didn't have any more appointments with the court.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Thank you.
Please, the court. I'll be quick because I understand where the court is coming from on this. It's pretty clear that the trial court's various orders are not the model of clarity. But we would respectfully request that what occurred in regards to the underlying matter was that the order was entered, and that's clerk's number 328.
It was just an entry of judgment. It wasn't limited to an judgment on contempt. Our view at that point in time was that she was dropping claims. We're done. She's getting her final judgment in respect to that, so we're properly before the court. She's conceded, plaintiff has conceded, that she wasn't pursuing any claims, that she was done. She doesn't apparently intend to pursue those at all. We would like reversal of the summary judgment so we can go down and proceed on all the factual issues on the on her claims in regards to injunction.
Is everything removed from the property that
we believe that it's been complied with.
I'll waive my time.